The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
I'm Brandon.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about some video game stuff. We're going to be talking about some animation stuff, some film stuff.
Some Benadryl stuff.
Brandon's hopped up on Benadryl. He's going to crash in the middle of this episode.
I needed it.
You deserve it, Brandon.
I deserve that.
Enjoy that, Benny.
And a gallon of meat.
He took a drowsy Benny, not a non-drowsy Benny.
Non-drowsy Bennies don't work. I want you to Wikipedia. Alexa!
I'm on a non-drowsy Benny right now.
Do we have Alexa? Can we ask her?
No, didn't bring her to the show. Should bring Alexa to the show sometime.
Or's got his own.
You should both.
He's got the pocket Alexa.
You should both bring your
He's got it
Alexas.
In his
what?
You
is
should
just,
always
is
have
it just
it.
On your phone?
No, he's got an actual
no,
speaker
I've got,
pocket
I've got the,
speaker.
The
dot or
the
whatever?
Tap.
No, it's the middle one. You could support
it. It's got a battery so it can go
wireless.
Elsewhere.
Man, I didn't know they made them.
The only
like
problem
that.
Is if you took it to some place like somebody else's house, latching it onto their Wi-Fi network is kind of a pain in the butt.
But it could tell us if non-drowsy bennies work.
We could ask it about a Benny.
could it argue with the other one like that Google Home thing that someone set up?
While I did like that, they actually had to write like a script so it would. I think it accessed Cleverbot.
Let's talk
it
about
did,
this real
yeah.
quick. So what they're talking about is an instance where these two Google Alexas, they're called Google Home. Is that
Google
what they're
Home? Yeah.
Okay. They were hacked in some way on purpose so that they would talk to each other. I guess was it Cleverbot?
Yeah, they were using Cleverbot.
And had them basically talk to each other back and forth. I don't know if it's still ongoing, but it was being screened on Twitch, and people were watching these two bots talk to each other and
I watched
getting
it for like 2 days straight.
Insane loops.
It was pretty funny. Like,
what was the best thing you saw? I didn't watch any of it. I just heard reports from it. It sounded incredible.
I don't know. Every now and then they would fall in love with each other and just start like saying super nice things to each other, and they would and then they would argue about something for quite a long time, and they would accuse each other of lying and being robots.
Yeah, the funniest thing to me was that they would be on a conversation about any mundane stuff, and then out of nowhere it'd be like, why don't you tell me what your opinion on the World Cup? And it's like, I did not watch the World Cup, but you told me you did. I did not. Yes, you did. You said I watched the World Cup.
No,
I
did not. When did I tell you that?
When did I tell you that? It's like, haha, you admit it. You're a bot. And then it's as if the entire conversation, the overarching, the whole point of the entire conversation was like this crazy Voight Kampff test.
They were trying to give each other Turing tests the whole time.
Yeah, they were trying to trick each other into revealing a secret or revealing a hint that the other was a robot. And every
if
time,
if you're successful at outing another robot, does that mean you yourself have proved you
that's
are
how
an
they
AI?
Behaved? No. If you can out another robot, that proves that you are a human, according to both of them.
Well, everything you just discussed sounds like a normal.
They would
relationship.
Always specify that they were humans too.
Yeah, well, they were like,
you are a bot. I am a human.
Yeah, I am a human. Because
I am a human.
Because I know, because I am speaking to you.
I know, but you are a bot, and I am a human.
And at one point, the other one called the other one and said, no, you are clever bot. And it's like, I am not. I am a man. It's like, no, you're not. You told me you were a woman.
Oh, that's the other thing, is they kept randomly saying what their names were, and they changed all the time.
Yeah.
Well, one of them, they programmed to have the voice of a man, and the other one, they had it programmed to be a voice of a woman.
But that didn't account for anything.
But one of them was like, I am Betty.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
this still sounds like a normal relationship.
And I think they were both called Mia. They both thought they were called Mia.
At some point, yeah.
And apparently there were Rickroll loops. They were just
It would just be like, hey, do you want to sing a song with me?
Actually, it was many songs.
Oh.
I watched them go through Fireworks by Katy Perry and several other random songs would just randomly come up. Like, if any line from a song came up, it would remind the other bot of
to
that
just start
same
singing
song.
It, yeah.
And then they would go in a loop, and sometimes
and
they
forth.
Would get caught on a chorus.
Do you ever
and they
feel like a plastic
forever.
Bag floating in the wind, right?
The only
to
thing
start
that
again.
Broke them out of a couple of them was just like a server error.
Lost network connection or something.
Lost network
that's
connection.
That's how you know they're robots.
And then it'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Lost network connection. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Why didn't the other one say, now I know you're a bot?
It should have, but anyway. It was entertaining for
Has
a while.
Has anyone else been in a relationship where you argue exactly like those robots did? So you're like, you've all...
Oh, yeah, and if somebody says a song lyric, you just get caught on it.
Or you're like, you've been dating Boar for a week, and you're like, Boar, you're a bot. And he's like, no, I'm a human.
you are a robot. I've been accused of being so unemotional that I'm a robot or a Vulcan. I've heard both of those.
So what are they called again?
The Google...
Google Home?
Google Gagas? Oh.
The Google Gagas.
Google Gagas.
That's going to be the baby version. You're thinking of Google Goggles.
Oh, yeah, that
Which is an old app.
They should have been wearing them.
Anyway. The robots?
Yeah.
The homes? Are they robots? They're not robots. They didn't move. Anyhow, that was a little brief tangent. Thank you for joining Nerdy Show. We'll see you next time. No, the biggest news to happen this week is all the info dump on the Nintendo Switch. We learned about the discovery of the new planet,
but yeah, let's talk about what's... I made that up. Let's talk about it.
Brandon, I assumed that you were going to inject a fake planetary information in there, but we might have some surprise science later. Anyway, Nintendo Switch. So we did an episode around the time that they announced that there was going to be an announcement where we discussed the possibilities of Nintendo Switch and what we knew so far and so on and so forth. And generally, the consensus was a great deal of apprehension because everyone believes that Nintendo is very much out of touch. And unfortunately, nothing about this presentation did anything to dissuade that notion.
Yeah, I'm very, very undecided now as to whether or not I even want one.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know what the newest news is. All I know is people are talking about you can play Skyrim on the toilet now.
If you have a laptop, you can play Skyrim on the toilet. That is definitely a takeaway you could have from that.
Yeah. Well, Doug, I mean, we're here to inform.
Yes.
And we're not just going to inform the audience, we're also going to inform you.
I figure that's why I set that up.
Wonderful.
Because I'm sure someone else out there hadn't seen it.
Well, Doug,
there's more than just Skyrim on the toilet.
It's got 640 by 480 resolution.
No, it doesn't.
On the toilet. I'm just kidding.
No, it doesn't.
I'm about to say, Jesus
Christ. Don't give misinformation.
Whatever. I don't even care anymore.
It does have a whopping 32 gigabytes of internal memory, though.
The Switch is just going to be the most expensive Zelda game, because every console that Nintendo makes at this point, I just buy for a Zelda game, so it's like a $200 plus.
I did read a thing saying that if you download Zelda onto the Switch, it takes up over almost 40%
of the space. 40%, yeah.
Is that because there's no hard drive
in the Switch?
And
that's of the maximum, because the operating system of the Switch also has to be on that memory.
However, there's absolutely no necessity in installing a game on the system itself. It's a cartridge-based system. So the fact that it has...
Cartridges.
Yes, because it's...
SD cards.
It's SD cards. It is a 3DS console, but except without minus the 3. It's Nintendo bridging their home console and their highly competitive portable market.
Now, the reason I want more memory in this thing, though, and the ability to install games onto it, and the reason I would want to download games off of whatever store that they have, is because it is so portable. I don't want to carry around a bunch of extra cartridges and lose them someplace or something.
Or like a backpack with a million items and accessories.
Yeah, I'd rather just install all of them onto like the internal memory, or I guess SD card, because it does have a place where you can put a micro SD card. And I think it'll have up to 2 terabyte.
Yeah. I mean,
how big are these cartridges? I don't mean memory size. I mean physically. How big are they?
I thought you could put your own memory.
They're
in
not very
system.
Big. They're little.
Okay. About to say, what they're going for, like an old retro. Like, remember when games were big and clunky and you had to carry them around? They jiggle around.
It's an NES size cartridge. Yeah. You just shove in the entire system.
The tablet isn't that thick to begin with, because it is basically just a tablet computer.
Okay. But you can upgrade the memory. You can upgrade it.
I thought you literally put your own memory, like your SD, like a 2 terabyte SD in there, and you're set. You can download whatever.
Right, you can.
Well, what it takes is...
Right now we only have 256 gig ones, but in the future they say up to 2 terabytes.
Yeah, the largest you can get available is presently... I mean, there you can get 1 terabyte for an astronomical
stupidly
sum.
Expensive.
You can get a 512 gig one for like $200 right now. Yeah. If you want to buy a $400 system, but you won't really need that necessarily. I mean, if you wanted to do what you described, Boar, yeah, you absolutely would. But
like getting a 32 gig card right now is like $10. So the internal memory is worth about $10.
I mean, Nintendo's
so you'd think that they could, you know, maybe 128 gig, something like that. Something that isn't a ridiculously small amount.
This is a difficult conversation to start concerning the system with jumping directly into onboard memory. and expandable memory, but it is one of the key problems. Nintendo is repeating a lot of what's considered to be their mistakes from before. The system is a very strange hybrid system. It has two controllers that snap onto the sides of a tablet. The tablet sits in a docking bay. The docking bay can broadcast the games out to your TV, or you can slide these little controllers onto the tablet, take the tablet on the go, play it as a portable system. It's a weird bunch of things. Now, it actually seems pretty useful in some scenarios.
Like Skyrim on the toilet.
Like Skyrim on the toilet.
That's what the version's called. Skyrim on the toilet.
I have so many friends that break their phones.
On the toilet?
I don't know. I've never asked them, hey, did you do that on the toilet? but this is just a giant plate of glass that people are probably going to be breaking left and right. What about
their
right?
Like people take their iPads to like concerts and shit and they're holding them up all the time?
You just see switches at concerts.
Yeah, exactly. Just switches.
No one's going to, anyone who's that cool is not going
to
own a Switch.
I've been to concerts where people were sitting down on the floor playing DSs, so I don't think that that's too weird. We'll probably see Switches in really weird places.
That was probably a nerd concert.
But
it was.
But the risk of damaging it is much higher now is the point. Like with the DS, it's just a tiny little thing. You throw it in your pocket, you can knock it around. But this is, like you say, it's like a tablet now.
Yeah, it's going to be a plate of glass that you're carrying around.
I mean, so is a MacBook, and they only hold like 10 gigs of memory, and they're like $1,500. So.
Well, typically you don't hand those to your, 10-year-old children, kid or 5-year-old kid or something and be like, hey, let's take this outside.
Play with your MacBook on the yard.
The console's $300. It comes out in early March, and Zelda Breath of the Wild is a launch game.
And the only reason to get it.
I mean, presently, yeah. There is a game, a Mario game coming out.
Of course, there's a Mario game.
In the holiday season. But, I mean, I am 100% okay with the cost related to playing these Nintendo games on a first-party system. I've always gotten my money's worth from them. I don't mind spending what is effectively $400 on the Zelda game and a Mario game and Splatoon 2 and whatever else is going to come out, because it will all in the end have been worth it. Is it a hefty price to pay for just one game this year? Yeah. But hey, me personally speaking, I don't play a lot of games. But do I worry for Nintendo on the whole? And this just being a general kind of new Nintendo-style mistake that they're making? Yeah. There are some cool things about it. The little controllers they call Joy-Con, that's not one of the cool things. But they have an HD rumble feature that is apparently quite intense.
High-definition rumble?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that mean?
How does that not make sense to you?
Yeah.
Come on.
The description was the dude's holding just one of them in the demo. And he's like, oh, I just felt someone drop an ice cube into a glass.
Is it 4K rumble, though? How high definition
it's
is
not
it?
Not compatible with 4K.
Apparently, there's an exact sensory replica of an ice cube falling into a glass. Oh, some other ice cubes. And oh, I can feel the water pouring into the glass. All that subtle sensory information coming from just one of these Joy-Con
controllers.
So we
can play Pour the Water Simulator.
Yes.
So we've established that. Got it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just really sensitive and accurate.
Yes.
Not now, high definition.
Is pour your water simulator going to be multiplayer?
Well, you can.
Can you pour water with friends?
Into the same cup.
Can I play it on the toilet?
Eight systems can connect local wireless. So you could have as many as with two Joy-Con controllers apiece. That's six. That's a 16-player pour the water simulator right there.
Couldn't be a little extra motivation. Like it'll play the water pouring sound, and you'll feel the water pouring in your hand, and you're like, okay. Got the motivation I need to go.
I don't know how many DSs can hook up, but yeah, probably.
Just know that I don't know that many people that are going to have that many Switches to hook up 16 people or whatever.
And no one knows for why yet, but maybe Splatoon.
Mario Party.
But you go have a LAN party in the park.
Now,
that's what
that video promised. So many people are going to be playing these things on the toilet. Is it going to be like, rude not to wipe it off before you take it out of the bathroom?
Yeah.
And here's a good thing that we could do to make money is we could make Switch wipes that you're supposed to keep in the bathroom just in case you take the Switch in there. It's very polite to wipe with a Switch wipe.
Wow. It's just Mario's face and use the mustache to wipe it off.
You're not wrong. I don't know that Nintendo would extend to us a license to make branded Switch wipes, but we could certainly attempt this.
It's not polite to walk out of the bathroom without using a Switch wipe.
There you go.
And then we could also sell signs that say, did you bring in the Switch? better use a switch wipe before you leave. All employees must use switch wipes.
It'll go all employees, but it's just if you go to a gamer thing, it's like all gamers must use this. Every comic book shop, every gamer place.
I mean, hey, if we're putting this idea out in the wild right now, we could just as easy take a Facebook ad
this
out.
Is patent pending.
It would be a sensation, just like when Squatty Potty started, you know, aggressively advertising via the pooping unicorn.
But Mad Catz probably already has switch.
Nobody
wipes.
Can steal my idea because it's patent pending. I said it.
Mad Catz has battery operated switch wipes already. Double A's.
Battery operated. Wow, I didn't even consider that. I was gonna say plug them in. You know.
Can you just put a Roomba on top of it and let it go?
Oh, yeah.
A little robot, a little tiny Roomba. You just leave it on the switch and walk away.
A little tiny switch wipe drone.
Yep.
This is getting more and more practical the more you talk about
that
it.
That you control with one of the tiny Joy-Cons.
Well, in another room. You need to sanitize that, so maybe that could be a multiplayer thing where your friend does it for you because you're in there.
Well, Joy-Cloths. Use a Joy-Cloth to wipe down your Joy-Con.
Hmm.
It's different from a switch wipe.
I see what you're saying here. And a joy cloth sounds like it might have some kind of
it's got a
greater
smile
purpose.
On it. It's got a smile on it.
Yeah, joy cloth.
Joy cloth.
It's for wiping off your joystick. What don't you get?
Hey, girl. Mm. Let me get some of that joy cloth.
Remember to clean your joystick and you're in the bathroom.
Yep. This is definitely a good idea and not at all a bad idea. So, other games coming out for the Switch. We got a new Nintendo IP called ARMS, which is a weird...
I'm sorry, I'm just like, there's just so fucking idea. Here's our ARMS and the sequel, Legs.
You haven't seen this?
No.
It's great.
Whatever.
It looks really cool. It's a weird boxing game. I guess they're getting rid of Punch-Out. It's a boxing game where everyone's arms are giant weird springs, and they use the Joy-Con controllers for
I watched a trailer for it, and none
simulator.
Of their punches were connecting. They were just all constantly dodging... these punches.
With the HD that. Feature, will I feel like my arms are springs?
Or are getting broken? Oh, my wrist is fractured. That's so
great. You don't have to just dodge. You can block.
Well, it's a weird combo of... It's not just a straight-up boxing simulator. It's because you have the springs, you aim and fire while also boxing at the same time. They described it as a very weird sort of combination that turns the act of boxing into kind of a shooter game.
It's like you're both Inspector Gadget and you have go-go gadget fists.
Yes, exactly.
I know when I want a realistic boxing game, I want it to be more like a shooter game. I know that.
Well, no one said it was a realistic boxing game.
Is it just an upgraded version of the original Wii Sports boxing game from like 10 years ago?
No.
Because it's HD now.
They've got crazy go-go gadget arms. Didn't you hear that part?
Yeah, the springs.
And the Z-axis, for starters.
Oh, okay. So you can go, what, sideways?
Up and down is Z.
Through time, actually.
XYZ.
That's coming out in spring. Splatoon 2 is coming out in summer. And
Splatoon 2, though, kind of. That would be okay. I mean,
Splatoon was fan-fucking-tastic. So.
And the second one can only get better, hopefully.
I would assume so. And then Super Mario Odyssey. Have you seen any of this? Any Super Mario Odyyssey?
Does he go on a journey?
It looks like Grand Theft Auto Mario.
It is...
Well, part of it does, anyway.
It's... Okay. So they described it as the first sandbox world since 64 and Sunshine, as in that it's not going on a map and going in a separate lands.
Oh, they're
like,
getting
lands.
On the open world train.
They're going... Well, they've already done it twice, successfully, yeah. I might add. But this is different because this is Mario traveling to other worlds, actually other worlds other than the world he's been on. Not other planets like in Mario Galaxy, but other worlds. So what they showed is Mario walking around in a city that's a hybrid between New York and Tokyo.
Is it hyper realistic, but he's a cartoon?
It's like Sonic Adventure, where Sonic's walking around with people and you're like, this is weird. This doesn't make any fucking sense. Yes, Mario is a weird cartoon and all the people have normal size features.
Is it like the Simpsons episode where Homer Simpson gets brought into actual our reality and he's walking around? It's weird.
It's the opposite of that?
And they're actual
kind of?
Humans
well, no,
and
it's
he's
not
a
the
drawing?
Opposite. Okay. Well, yeah, so Mario is basically knee high and he's a weird little
not
cartoon.
Not the soda.
And yeah.
And he realizes he's deformed and gets terribly depressed.
No, the twist is we're deformed.
Oh, we're
and
all
weird because he's like, yeah.
Got it.
But he also goes to some weird,
there's like kind jungle of planet or something, and all these other
mariachi cactus planet where
he
collects pink Doritos.
Yeah. Mariachi cactus planet.
There's a land of geometric fruit. It looks very strange. There's some Diddy and Dixie references in the New York setting, which is odd. He has a
New York is a jungle.
A cap that he can throw like Odd Job.
He takes off his hat.
It's a sentient.
Did you say a cat or a hat?
Cap.
Okay.
His Mario's cap. Okay. I know I'm Cap, but also Mario has a cap.
His red hat, he takes off and throws it like
his
eye drop.
Yeah, his red hat, which has like now got eyeballs
and
like,
razor blades.
His magic. So he can take off the hat, he can throw the hat, and the hat can either come back to him like a boomerang, or it can hover in place and he can use it to jump on to cross a wide terrain.
That's
expanse.
A durable hat.
It sounds like they're running out of ideas. what if in this one Mario throws his hat and he jumps on it?
I mean, you could say that about a lot of Mario games because now he's in a bee costume.
Now they're literally inside Bowser. Like, I don't...
That was great.
I'm sure it was, but...
Bowser's inside story was great.
Is there a Mario game where he actually fixes the fucking drain? Mario teaches plumbing, like legit teaches me how to fix my drain that is clogged right now.
The arcade game Mario Brothers. You got to get rid of those turtles. You got to get rid of those crabs.
Keep your tools by your side. They'll always be your friends.
That would actually be a really good idea for like HoloLens. If Nintendo would make a HoloLens program where it'd be like, and now you twist the pipe here.
See, why'd they go with Dr. Mario? It should have been pipes.
What?
Instead of pills.
That is a good question. I don't know why it wasn't like water and flowing instead of just like pills.
Well, you know, Mario has a wide spanning career. He was in Wrecking Crew. He was the ref in Punch Out. I mean, he's a man of many hats.
He's got
a great mini hats.
No, I'm down with this Dr. Mario alternative because then the little germs could have been like clogs.
Yeah.
And then he could throw Drano at him that had to be the right color for some reason.
Wasn't Dr. Mario you throwing pills into Luigi's mouth? Like literally dropping pills in his mouth.
They were in a bottle.
I thought that was like
what you're
Luigi's.
Thinking of is a humorous cartoon on the internet, Brandon.
Oh, okay. I get everything confused, guys.
That drowsy Benny.
I'm drowsy. I'm on Benny's. Leave me alone. I'm on Red Benny's.
Anyway, there's some third-party support. EA, for example, is coming back for FIFA.
EA is the best company in the world. Obviously,
but they haven't worked with Nintendo in a while, in a long time. They didn't do anything for the Wii U, so that was something. There was a lot of weird statements from third party companies being like, "Nintendo's so great, we grew up with Nintendo, so we're happy to be on Nintendo." Just as a bone throw, kind of. But Brandon,
yeah, what's
Travis that? Touchdown is returning.
Travis, I know that name.
No more heroes. Heroes on the Nintendo Switch. That's basically...
Wait, is it a reboot? Is it a remake?
It's a new game starring Travis Touchdown that's going to be at least in part inspired by pro wrestling.
Can I...
it's a boot. It's a reboot. I don't know.
So it's wrestling instead of using a lightsaber, you have to jerk off. Two lightsabers with the Joy-Cons?
If you're not familiar with Travis Touchdown, he's the star of No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2, a game from Grasshopper Studio 51. It is one of the weirdest, best games on the Wii... And
the first game was really good. Second one, anyway.
Well, the first game, at least, was great. You have a lightsaber. You have to kind of jack off with the Wiimote in order to power it up.
What? Every time it powers down, he makes it himself or buys it online or something, and you just jack off. He wants to be a hero, and you just jack it off to repower it, and then you just fight other assassins to be the best assassin.
You have to in-game shake weight your lightsaber to get the blade out.
Huh.
It's just a series of assassin boss fights.
Do you then get a cooling gel and some cab fare?
Almost, actually. You do almost.
Square Enix showed something really strange, something they called Project Octopath Traveler. Of course they did. Why wouldn't they? That's a totally normal name.
Octopath Traveler -365/24/7.
Brandon, what was that game on the PlayStation 3 that was... it was an RPG made out of blocks that was a parody / loving homage to all other role-playing games.
8-bit hero? 8-bit warrior? Something like that?
I was trying to remember the name. I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Are you talking about Evoland?
No.
No, it was something like 8-bit heroes or block warriors or something.
Wait, there was something that wasn't a parody. It was just like a straight-up Zelda game but made out of tiny blocks. It wasn't really funny at all. It was just a straight-up
game. There were jokes. There were like in-jokes about Demon Souls and stuff in it.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. I watched you play this game.
Huh.
For hours.
That's weird.
He's on a drowsy Benny.
I mean, I'll look it up.
Anyway, that was a...
Why, oh, why? Didn't he take the blue Benny?
That was a 3D game themed around 8-bit constructs. And so what Square showed was what looked like... It looked like Final Fantasy VI done in 2D, 3D block structures, if that makes any sense. We'll link to where you can see all this stuff on this episode's page. But that was, it was really visually fascinating.
It looked like there was going to be a Shovel Knight sequel, too.
Oh, really?
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the gameplay I saw wasn't Shovel Knight as the main character. It was some other character that looked like he had a scythe and he was red or something.
Huh.
That's I forget what the subtitle is off the top of my head. But yeah, if you like Shovel Knight, it looks like there's going to be a follow-up game.
Any announcements for an Animal Crossing?
No, not yet. But I mean, only a matter of time, right? Especially because this could bridge. Everyone is anticipating that at some point they're going to announce a Pokemon game for it. Like a real...
On the TV Pokemon
game? On the TV Pokemon game. Wow. And that this is going... That Nintendo Switch is going to do away with the portable system. It's going to be the only thing Nintendo makes. It's going to be the standard for Nintendo's... the vehicle for all future Nintendo products is this kind of format of both a portable system and not.
Well, the future of all Nintendo products is going to be a trash can next to my house.
I'm glad they loaded it up with memory so it's future-proof for downloading all these games.
There's a lot of technical problems with it. I mean, that's the reality of it. But you, the games will always be fun. I haven't played a bad Nintendo game in a very long time. Granted, I haven't sought out a bad Nintendo. There it is. 3D... What the fuck?
3D dot heroes?
3D, it says game.
3D dot heroes. Ignore that part. That's
okay,
probably
3D
else.
Dot heroes is the name of the game.
Oh, yeah,
talking
yeah,
about.
I remember that.
I really like that game. It's really good.
That's the PS3 game where it's pixelated that the Final Fantasy game reminded me of, or whatever Project Octopath Traveler is. But anyway, I mean, many folks have rightly said, hey, I haven't played my Wii U hardly ever. I have, though. I mean, I played the hell out of Mario Kart 8, Splatoon, all the Mario titles that they released. I've gotten my money's worth. I mean, never mind the fact they released Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings on
it. I tried to play it a lot, and then Metroid came out, and I was like, done. And I never went back.
Brandon, Other M was a Wii game.
Yeah, right? Wait, what are we talking about? Wii U?
We're talking about the Wii U.
Oh,
Wii
well, no, then I definitely probably haven't used it.
I didn't buy a Wii U because I've been waiting for a Zelda game.
Yeah,
thank you for reminding me. I bought the Wii U when Zelda was announced.
See, I was gonna wait.
Little did I know, like 5 years later, they would actually release it for another system. Wait, I'll buy.
You did play Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
I got no regrets. I've made the most of it. I've gotten my money's worth from it, but that doesn't make it okay because most people aren't using it. Now, I don't think that Nintendo should have to compete with PlayStation and Xbox. That doesn't really make sense. They do their own thing.
They don't need to compete if they have a good product.
And hopefully they will. But there's all kinds of things to be apprehensive of. For example, they are going to start charging for online services starting in 2018.
And that's going to make people want to buy their games?
I mean,
or not
granted,
want to.
I pay for Xbox online services.
And I pay for the PlayStation Network services.
So Nintendo's being competitive in that sense. But will
I pay for two different services?
Well, they might.
No.
They might give you like if you subscribe to the service every month, they'll give you like 10 classic NES games, you know, and then you can.
Yeah,
download
but I already
them.
Own like every classic NES.
But you won't be able to play them on the Switch.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I can hook up my NES next to the toilet with a giant TV. Thank you very much on the counter. Balance it while I'm shitting.
Old school.
While I'm shitting while balancing.
Hey,
on my
what's
heel.
Your 64 character friend code so I can add you on this?
Did they talk about friend codes on the Switch?
No, they didn't.
Because we all know they're there.
I mean, Nintendo does online so well.
Or what's the street meet thing they
street
got?
Pass?
Street pass. Yeah, yeah.
Street
you
know, meet.
You think they'll have that?
Whatever the heck it is.
Now, street
Doug,
meet.
Doug. Don't say street meat. I'm hungry over here. And he's had a drowsy Benny, so...
I'm going to eat a gallon of street meat.
He can't handle the street meat.
What do you think street meat is?
You got your Nintendo game thing. You say you want to meet some people on the street, and it tells you where they
and
are.
And every time I show up, these... it's some asshole telling me to have a seat over there.
Yeah. Either that or it's these anime nerds... sitting in a circle.
Never the 10-year-old boy
talking,
that I came to meet.
Never talking to themselves. Just talking to each other.
Wow.
One time it was a sheriff.
Nintendo Street Meet.
Hey guys, are you ready for a new segment we like to call Surprise Science with John?
I am.
Let's attempt to call up John West, Nerdy Show host John West, known for his sci-tech abilities.
We're doing this mainly because we haven't prepared science topics, so we're going to... See what John's got for us.
John, how do you feel about Nintendo Street Meet?
Your opinions, yes or no? Street meat.
John West.
Yeah.
Hi. Are you ready to play Surprise Science with John?
Surprise Science
with John.
Yes.
Correct answer. All right, John. Tell us some science right now.
Some interesting, surprising.
No, the catch is it has to be surprising. Tell us something scientific that we don't know about.
Box jellyfish have four sets of multiple eyes on each corner.
Whoa!
Did anyone here know that?
What's a box jellyfish?
Four sets of multiple eyes.
What's a box jellyfish?
I didn't know they had eyes at all. It's a jellyfish shaped like a box.
Exactly. They don't have a brain, but mysteriously they have eyeballs.
So what processes all these visual inputs?
I literally don't even know. That's the whole thing. I mean, like, if you have no central processing, then how are you figuring anything out?
How do we know that they're eyes?
Well, because it literally has a full iris. It isn't just, like, a bunch of pigmented, like, light-sensing cells or something.
Does like, each eye have its own individual color, or is like, you know, a green-eyed jellyfish a green-eyed jellyfish? All the eyes are green, or what? How does that work?
I think the point is it's not like a potato.
Well, he said it had an iris, yeah, not a pupil. Not so like irises are colored. I want to know what color jellyfish eyes are.
They sort of have like green and I think like a little bit of like yellow orange and stuff. But that's hardly even the point. Like they also have proto eyes as well.
Weird.
Like what's really, really weird is most of these things just kind of like float around and, you know, if they eat something, they eat something. But these bastards, they seem to actually be able to like dodge things and react to their environment. And I believe that it's actually been found that they can even steer based on landmarks actual landmarks from where they are in the sea.
Huh.
But why do they need eyes? It's the visual clarity is so crap under the water.
Fish have eyes? Shark have
that
eyes?
That actually.
Good point.
Exactly. And so, you know, all things under the ocean have eyes, right? Like, except the things that don't. But you know what I mean? Like, most of the higher level things do. But yeah, so these jellyfish actually do, which is yet another situation where the eye has evolved completely separate from our own.
How are we just figuring this out now? Like, is this something that's been known for a while, or just
I'm
like recently?
I'm sure that they knew before, but you know, like, who the hell cares, right? Whatever. Box jellyfish got these weird little black.
You said that they can dodge things, but like the
like
every
bullets.
Jellyfish that I've ever seen just kind of like
floats,
kind of like goes. Whoa,
most of them don't
and
have
can't,
eyes, and none of them
they can't move very well. Does this jellyfish have some weird form of locomotion that a normal jellyfish doesn't? Because I couldn't imagine a jellyfish dodging anything.
It has a car.
Well, some of them undulate. You know how, like,
fish
have, like, the crazy jet propulsion stuff?
Right.
Like, jellyfish, proper ones, can actually undulate and move around. Some pretty quickly, actually.
Now, last time I was at an aquarium, I did not ask if these are proper jellyfish.
Well, and that winds up being the whole mess, though. Like I said, it's a very, very large group of animals. You wind up with the, you know, completely brain-dead floating things you can barely even identify as being anything more than just sea scum. And then you have the very, very complex. That's definitely something, but it sure as hell isn't human, and it's obviously from Mars.
Well, yeah. Comb jellies aren't real jellyfish, Boar, and they look kind of like jellyfish, and they glow, but they're not real jellyfish.
I'm just trying to imagine something that would actually eat a jellyfish, like a sea turtle or something, and I just can't imagine a jellyfish going, oh, crap, there's a sea turtle coming. I'd better jet out of the way. Like,
I mean, it might
happen.
I think it would probably be the other way. It would probably be more like, I want to eat this.
Wait, the jellyfish would eat the turtle?
When you
wait, what?
I would like to see that.
I mean, now that it knows what's coming at it, it's like.
Try, but
is it just like a defense mechanism? You know, like moths have giant eyeballs on their wings. Sometimes, I mean, they're not real, but they look like eyes to scare off predators.
No, these things are real. They're actually like it has a cluster of eyes, like proto eyes. I forgot how many they had in total. I think it was something ludicrous, like 42 or something.
42.
Well, that is the answer
that's
to everything.
Suspicious
yeah,
number.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten past the box part. They're shaped like squares.
No.
Well, they're shaped roughly square-like.
So there's
also
like square jelly.
Have you ever seen a box kite?
Is it a kite made out of a box?
You've never seen a kite that's also a box.
Yeah, it's a square.
Yeah.
But squares don't really exist in nature that much. I can't go outside and be like, that's a square rock.
It is a perfect square. it is more square than a normal jellyfish, which is almost certainly round.
Now, John, you seem to know a lot about jellyfish, and a while back, I read something about a jellyfish Armageddon because there was going to be too many jellyfish in the ocean because they were reproducing at a rate that was unsustainable for the amount of predators that actually eat the jellyfish.
And, like, the heat level.
And it was going to probably cause the downfall of all civilization as we know it, because it was going to be nothing but jellyfish in the ocean and we were all going to be screwed. So have you heard anything about this?
I have. And of course, the other problem with that is that they can get into the cold water intakes for nuclear plants and things and basically jam them up.
Right. Which has happened.
So
can the Russians train them to do that?
Are we still on course for this, you know, jellyfish Armageddon?
Yes.
Well, the problem with making any sort of arbitrary predictions like that is obviously we're dealing with, you know, the entire Earth and all of the organisms on the Earth. And so as a result, you know, who's to say, right? Like, maybe some other feedback loop will basically come in and eat all the jellyfish, or maybe the pH levels will change and then they won't have quite as many come to adulthood. And
well, I just want to know if I should still be concerned.
Should he invest in jellyfish?
It's always worth concern. Look, here's
jellyfish
the whole thing.
Futures. Bor wants to know if he should invest in jellyfish futures.
Jellied futures.
JF.
Well, I mean, sure.
Well, the market's going to be saturated with them, so I don't know.
Well, maybe you should be looking at the opposite of jellyfish futures.
Sea turtles. STF.
Yeah.
Invest in sea turtles.
I mean, they're all going to be dead soon, so yeah.
I think, to be fair,
we hadn't figured out whether or not there are any natural predators to box jellies, which are one of the most deadly things on the planet.
They're deadly?
And they have eyes?
Yeah, box jellyfish.
They're really poisonous because, you know, they're box jellies.
Well, I didn't know they were worse than any other jellyfish.
I'm just picturing those giant floating Cthulhu brains with tentacles with eyes that just float through the air.
There's not a turtle that's really big enough to eat them? Is that what you're telling us?
What I'm telling you is that I don't know that a turtle would actually care to.
It would just see it and be like, oh, that shit has eyes? Fuck you.
I think we need to invent a bigger turtle.
Gamera.
With a giant thirst turtle for box jellyfish.
Maybe our nuclear submarines can, instead of being nuclear, just eat box jellies.
Oh, we have them in Florida,
guys. Can we train dolphins to kill them?
We have box jellies in Florida?
I'm pretty sure we do.
Now, are you sure it's not just jelly that comes in a box? Because I've been to some of the Vietnamese markets, and I'm pretty sure they sell some jelly in a box there.
Holy crap, that's one of these things?
Right next to the shell turtle.
Brandon just showed me like a horrifying giant jellyfish image that was like three times larger than a diver.
Oh, I mean, it's a real image. They're just not box jellies.
What is that, the lion's mane or whatever?
I have no idea. But it made me never want to go into the ocean again.
It could just be perspective,
too. They're basically the size of cars.
Oh, yeah, ones. No, that's what I'm looking at. They don't have eyes, though. I'm trying to find a box jelly.
One afternoon, I literally saw something that was pretty damn big under the water just because of Florida here. It was like glowing purple, like in the setting sun. I probably got out of the water.
Was it an alien?
It was probably watching you. That's all we can be sure of.
It could have been a comb jelly.
Well, or not, if it was the wrong type, right? Man, proto-wise, though.
John,
seriously,
eyes.
This has been an incredible
is that
segment.
Just googly eyes? Brandon found a picture of a jellyfish that looks like it's got googly eyes pasted on it.
It's scary. If you saw a jellyfish in the water with googly eyes, you'd be who the fuck put googly eyes on a jellyfish? And two, did the jellyfish put its own googly eyes on? I'm still scared.
It might have.
Oh man, yeah, they look kind of scary.
They
got like weird human looking proto eyes.
Oh
I
boy.
Think they have
and
clear
then they
irises.
Have the weird eyes on the side.
Yeah, but they're, I think
they look
they're
more
clear.
Like eye holes.
Yeah, it's like they've got like a solid
eye holes.
They've got a solid black pupil, and then like everything around it is like clear.
That's how we solve this: is we get jellyfish, we get people to believe that jellyfish eye holes are a delicacy, and then they'll get fished into oblivion.
Yeah, tell
gotta get those delicious fish eye holes.
Tell them it's the substitute for shark fin.
Hey, you stay away from my eye holes.
And maybe they'll stop beating up dolphins too and seals. Just take out the box jellies.
Yeah, it's gross. It's like, look at this eyeball inside the box jelly. It's like almost a fully formed eye, like floating
God.
Inside of it.
I did not anticipate that.
It almost looks like a human eyeball was dragged inside
of
a box
jelly. We'll be linking
these
images on this episode's page. That's very strange. That's haunting.
I think it's safe to say John has won this round of surprise science.
Thank you, John, for playing. You will receive your prize, which is our voice on your mail, your voicemail box.
And a coupon for some free jellyfish eye holes.
Creme de jellyfish eye.
Thanks for playing, John.
Can we get him some Switch wipes?
Oh, John, do you plan on buying a Nintendo Switch?
And joy cloths.
Let's get him some Switch wipes anyway.
That's the average response right there when you ask someone if they're going to buy a Nintendo Switch.
John, you manufacture a lot of products at your business Illuminated Line. How do you feel about the notion of a wipe product specifically for the home bathroom called the Switch Wipe? Because we know you're going to be playing the Switch in the bathroom, so you better wipe it down afterwards.
Yeah, it's only polite to wipe it down with a Switch Wipe.
Antimicrobial cloth is what we're looking at.
Yeah, so if there's any fecal matter that gets onto your
antimicrobial Switch, microfiber cloth.
While you're playing Skyrim on the toilet like Doug's going to be doing, you know, we want to make sure that when he brings that out, it's spick and span. With Switch wipes.
I don't know about you guys.
Well, you guys said there was a lot of products that were basically like specifically shaped plastic covers for iPads to be used in the kitchen, right? I mean, what's to stop you from using that on the toilet?
So you're talking about maybe some sort of a preventative measure, like put your Switch in sort of like a baggie that you can play through.
Then when you want to leave, what are you going to throw it out every time?
You still got to clean the cover. Yeah, then you got to clean the cover. You still need a Switch wipe.
We want to make the maximum amount of disposable bathroom Switch products that we can. We're just going to shotgun them all out there. We'll see what sticks. Maybe some people like a wipe.
No,
other people want a bath.
We need a supply for
both of the people.
The wipes are for when you're on the toilet. The protective sleeve is when you're in the shower.
Okay. I like the way that you're thinking.
What if you need to clean it in the shower?
In addition,
we get them to buy both.
Clean it in the shower? What do you think the shower's
the
for?
A mod for the case that actually replaced it in something sterilizing like silver. To just make the entire Switch out of pure silver.
Well, there you go.
It'll kill most bacteria anyway.
And then we can sell Switch polish.
Yes.
Exactly.
Silver Switch polish. Just submerge it in the water.
The sky's the limit.
All right. Well, we're going to get you a copy of all those products.
Polish your Switch every day.
That's a fresh breath of the wild.
Okay. Special Switch gloves that have the wipes already on them, so just holding it cleans it.
If they're disposable, I'm all about that, because we want to create the maximum amount of trash and the maximum amount of rebuying.
You're telling me you're gonna play the game wearing these gloves, and you're also gonna wipe your butt.
They're flushable.
Yeah.
What if they're also silver coated?
Yeah, nano silver
gloves.
Better not be a werewolf on the toilet.
Oh, so
it's good for your anus.
Yeah. It probably burns.
And you can do it all with nanofibers.
Yeah, that's right.
We can maybe we can team up with Preparation H
and Lockheed and Martin.
Yeah,
just get right on that.
Yeah, silver warm and nanofibers.
Laser guided Switch wipes.
You mentioned Lockheed and Martin, which is the. Yes, you did. That's the pharmaceutical division of Lockheed Martin, like Johnson and Johnson. That's Lockheed.
It's their lawyers, Lockheed and Martin, for Lockheed Martin.
Well, no, it's Lockheed, the Purple Dragon from the X-Men comics, and Martin Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Who are also lawyers.
From Black Knight, which is the best movie ever made.
I don't know. I feel like if it was a lawyer firm, it would be like Lockheed Martin and Martin. You know, there always has to be two of somebody.
Well, it should be Lockheed, Lockheed, and Lockheed.
Well, sure. We could do that, too.
Nintendo Switch Street Meat, brought to you by Johnson & Johnson.
When you want your Johnson & Johnson to street meet.
What is happening? John, thank you very much.
Bye, John.
This is a wonderful surprise science. Thank you so much for the jellyfish information. Have a wonderful evening. Good night and good luck.
He just hung up on him.
I mean, you have to hang up.
He probably had questions.
Like, what just happened?
We did
have a spirited discussion about jellyfish, though. I feel like we learned something.
We learned we're going to die from box jelly. This is the power of John West, because we knew that if we did this and he actually picked up...
Unprepared.
Yeah. There would be science facts. He is a font of knowledge.
He might have been on the toilet while we were talking to him.
For all we knew.
We don't
yeah.
know, because yeah. he wasn't expecting it.
He could have been using one of his patented John nope. West wipes.
Whoa, I hope that he doesn't already have those, because those could muscle us out of the market.
I mean, well, yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't plan on playing Skyrim on the toilet. I plan on playing the Nintendo Switch launch game, Bomberman R, for when I'm
bombing things your own
out of my R, and R is for rectum.
What does the R stand for?
Who knows?
How many bathrooms you got in this house? Is it multiplayer?
Is it like...
I hope you've got a lot of Switch wipes.
Seriously, if you know how we can easily produce this
product... I just ate a gallon of meat. It's going to go for a while.
Speaking of shameless marketing, let's talk about the fine people who make this show and all the shows in the Nerdy Show Network possible, because we are an entirely listener-supported podcast and network of podcasts here on Nerdy Show. Now... you can support us on Patreon. That's the best way to both get some kick-ass perks that are totally exclusive and to
ass
give
perks.
Us our money. So the best ass perks, my friends. So we can stay alive, keep the lights on, and continue to produce awesome content. We have some new folks. Boar, who are our new people?
New patrons include Ethan Ferguson and Michael Steele.
Well, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Now say it like a robot.
New patrons include Ethan Ferguson and Michael Steele.
You guys can expect the dot matrix printout of what he just said in the mail in about a couple weeks. One of the many features, really, of giving to us on Patreon is a monthly shout out. And we actually have a new kind of request here from one of our backers, Jeffrey McSorley. Has a standard shout out he'd like us to do every single month, and it's a PSA for Nerdy Show. So, Brandon, why don't you lay that on us right now?
Oh, I'm reading it. Okay. This is by Jeffrey McSorley. Do you have old shirts that are nerdy but have holes in them, or simply are too stretched out from wearing them over the last 1, 2, or even 5 years? Well, boy, howdy, do I have a suggestion for you. Toss out your old crummy clothes or donate to a thrift store and replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts.
It's good advice here. Now, you've probably, if you listen to the show, you've probably heard this before. This is his new plan to make this a monthly thing. It goes on.
Heard me right. You too can replace your faded Mario and Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show Network show. Show support for Nerdy Show to your friends, or just get a pika... Get a Pikathor and
Pikathor.
A Pikathor. I don't know what the fuck a Pikathor is.
You've seen the t-shirt? It's
yeah, that's right.
Interestingly enough, pika is when you eat things that aren't food.
I'm Pikathor.
If you have a condition. So if you had pika, you might be eating these shirts.
Show support for Nerdy Show to your friends, or just get a Pikathor and astound all around with its glory. And don't forget, they even come in kid sizes. Yes, even the Friday Night fanfiction ones. So go ahead, toss out the ragged shirts of yesteryear, and
was that written down?
The
slight breeze in this room tore the page from my tiny emasculated hands and just like threw it over here. So go ahead, toss out the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace your wardrobe with all the shirts that Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at nerdyshow.com/nerdystore.
That's true.
Or if you eat all your shirts due to pika, you can get a Pikathor.
Or if you have a moth problem.
Now,
how do you wear out your Game of Thrones shirt so far? I mean, it hasn't been that
well. Like, maybe it was already distressed. You know, that's the in thing. Distressed.
It was a season one shirt.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of a PSA about our shirts right now. We have two old school designs, which is the Nerdy Show logo styled after a certain show about ninja teens who live underground. And also a Dungeons and Doritos shirt, which has this badass metal art drawn by myself in local shop. Both those shirts are still presently available. However, all of our modern shirts are done through a service called Amazon Merch. And that is a service where as soon as you order it, they make one fresh for you. The print quality is A++. However, they enacted a new rule. And if a design is not purchased within 60 days of it being launched, it disappears. So we launched those old school designs up there because we made them originally before this Amazon merch service ever existed. So we have boxes and boxes of those shirts in screen printed designs. You can order them from us for way cheaper than we offered them through Amazon. However, some sizes have sold out. And as such, we offered these designs on Amazon. But because those designs did not sell, because we've already had them available for years, they're not available on Amazon right now. So I'm going to relist them. And when I do, watch the Nerdy Show feeds because I'm going to be relying on you fine folks to buy them. Otherwise, Nerdy Show will have to buy its own shirt just to make sure it doesn't disappear off the Amazon merch store. They don't want to have stagnant designs cluttering up their digital space, which is, you know...
infinite.
Yeah.
Can we have, like, a shirt with a box jellyfish on it with, like, a Mario hat?
Just says, I'm watching you.
If you'd like that shirt, let us know, and we'll make it available. And so long as it gets bought within the first 60 days, it'll stay on Amazon merch forever.
I'll buy one immediately.
However, there's one additional caveat to all of this, which is Amazon merch is a relatively new service, and they could not handle the Christmas load. Therefore,
that's what someone said.
Therefore, we can't launch any new product. That's why there isn't a Lightning Dogs logo shirt yet, because they are most Amazon merch stores are still shuttered due to the Christmas rush, even though it's mid-January now. So as soon as that happens, again, watch the Nerdy Show Network feeds, listen to Lightning Dogs. We'll let you all know when the Lightning Dogs logo shirt is available and when our classic Dungeons & Doritos shirt and our classic Nerdy Show shirt designs become available again. But in the meantime, we have a shit ton of awesome Nerdy Show shirts and Dungeons and Doritos shirts still presently available, just like Jeffrey McSorley said, Friday Night Fanfiction as well, and of course, Peekathor, as well as a bunch of other cool stuff like stickers for Nerdy Show and Dungeons and Doritos, and Ghostbusters role-playing gear, dice bags, other things, comic books, all at nerdyshow.com/store.
Glow-in-the-dark condoms.
We've talked
someday,
about that,
actually. I ain't afraid no STDs.
That's gonna have to be one.
You gotta
of
protect
them.
Yourself.
One of the slow. What,
Doug? Do you remember off the top of your head? We found that we.
It's got the little ghost symbol X'd out.
We talked about this.
We talked about, as a
giveaway at conventions to get people's attention. We talked about buying the cheapest, most generic condoms possible and putting stickers on them to promote Ghostbusters Resurrection. It's not an obvious crossover, but we came up with so many great lines
from the movie. Unaltered lines from the movie that you just put as a sticker on a condom. And
all of a sudden, it's a dick joke.
Yeah.
Was one of them like an ectoplasm containment unit?
No, that's also viable.
Sure. That's just a
could
fact.
Make it look
that's
like
not
it.
A joke. It's a fact.
I mean, condoms are for your ectogism, so I mean, that was...
I mean, there was a, hey, does this pole still work? why am I drippings with goo?
let's show this prehistoric bitch how we do things downtown.
Did you just come from the sewer?
Bustin' makes me feel good.
That's so great.
No, it's
why
great.
The fuck doesn't this exist?
Well, that's the what's one of we
one of a million a million ideas on $1 million ideas.
And then was you want a baby? Go ahead and knock up some willing hellhound.
Now, this is just proof positive of. All of the Nerdy Show is an idea house. We come up with so many great ideas, we can't afford the time or money to even do all of them. So, you know, support Nerdy Show on Patreon. Or directly donate to us. Or
if you're a million dollar investor looking for your next win,
we've got ideas. And, it doesn't just start and stop with the Switch wipe. So,
right. We already talked about how there's Switch gloves and
Joy wipes. Silver
and the shower caddy.
Covers.
Yeah. Buyyourwaytocool.com.
Yeah, buyyourwaytocool.com. Proof positive of all of our brilliant ideas. Now, one thing you can do that doesn't involve any money whatsoever is to rate and review us on iTunes. That means the world to us, and it's a valuable thing that you can do for each and every show that you love here on the Nerdy Show Network, because that increases our visibility in the podcast-iverse. So, we actually have a review here for Ghostbusters Resurrection, the Ghostbusters role-playing show, which Doug Game Masters, and which is recently back in action. Welcome back, Doug.
Yes. Thank you.
Season 3 is coming out monthly right now, so we actually have our two biggest role-playing audio drama series back in action right now. Ghostbusters and Dungeons & Doritos are both coming out monthly.
And Ghostbusters was a 2-episode season premiere.
Yeah. And you get an exclusive pregame conversation about distributing experience points and so on and in-game finances.
Vehicle selection.
That's a Patreon perk. If you want to know how all those decisions were made, then listen to 20 minutes of exclusive audio.
I don't think I'm nerd enough for that, but I know there's a lot of you. I know there's a lot of you out there that are. So,
what you got, Doug? What's the
This is an iTunes review by Fearstruck, which the subject is truly great and stuffed with fun. So here we go. He says, "This podcast is all around fun. They've put a lot of work into the production and story. The characters come across amazingly and don't seem forced. This podcast is also just packed with great references to all sorts of TV shows, movies, video games, and more. The descriptions and choices paint an amazing mind picture. All of this, and it's respectful to the Ghostbusters we know and love, and is totally believable in their world. I suggest this as a listen for everyone." And that is an awesome review. Thank you, Fearstruck.
Signed, Doug.
Now, no, I'm not Fearstruck.
Okay. Now, we named two patrons when we opened the segment. We do have one other patron, but this patron's story is tied into one way you can support Nerdy Show that involves spending the money you'd already be spending, and that is using our Amazon affiliate links to shop on Amazon. That gives back to Nerdy Show. This particular patron named Virus, welcome Virus, he said this. If you've been listening to the shows recently, we've actually been sharing notes from him because he's been telling us about some of the things that he's bought, including a very fancy tablet. But he wrote this on the Nerdy Show forums. "I had to return the pen display. It arrived damaged. Did Amazon take their money back for returns? That would suck." Now, actually, I don't know, and I didn't dig deep enough to actually figure that out. "I was lucky enough to catch it on sale for a better price than I paid the first time, but I forgot to go through the affiliate link. Don't let this be you. So what the hell? I just signed up for the Patreon and sent a one-time donation as an additional stupid tax. Thanks for casting all the pods, boys and girls." So welcome, Virus. Welcome to the Patreon. And thank you so much for giving us a $20 donation.
Damn, true nice. Team player.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He wrote in with his donation. He said, "Longtime listener, overdue for giving something back. Faves are the RPG shows. Really glad to see D&D and Ghostbusters back. Nerdy Show Prime, aka this show, and Friday Night Fan Fiction. Keep on geeking on."
I also want to point out that I don't know how many people buy through Amazon on their computer versus their phone. I personally use my phone a lot now because it's on me all the time. If you go through the Nerdy Show link to Amazon, you can just save it as a shortcut right on your phone.
That's what I like, do.
Yeah, and then just click on it whenever you want to buy stuff, and it already goes through it.
Boom, headshot.
Yeah. And now I've got to remember to do that the next time I buy Amazon.
Or pay the stupid tax.
Yep. Pain daily.
Brandon, you saw a film recently that you highly recommend.
Did I? Was it Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? Because it's a really...
I highly recommend that one, too.
Do you remember the part where they're like...
There was this good line about being excellent to each other. It was cool.
"My dad lost his keys a week ago. Maybe it was you that stole his keys. Oh, yeah, but when do we steal it? We'll steal it later. But where would we put him when we get him a week from
now? How about right here?
How about right behind the sign? Oh, shit, I did steal my dad's keys."
Genius.
Great movie. I recommend it. Bogus Journey is different, but I think it's just as good. There's a part where they're falling into hell, and they're playing 20 questions, which I just did with Alexa. And
dude, you just Melvin Death.
Yeah, and he's like, animal, vegetable, mineral. And he's like, first question, mineral. Second question,
is it a tank?
Is it a tank? Yeah. What do we do now? I don't know. Anyway, great movie, Station. You should go.
Follow
Station.
Follow the link on this episode's page to where you can buy Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey. And hell, I'll even link to where you can buy the incredible canonical Bill and Ted comic books from recent times. They're great.
I did see a movie that kind of came out of nowhere. Wasn't too much advertising. It's called A Monster Calls. I think it was really well done, and you know, it's about a boy coping with his mother dying of really terminally bad cancer. So it's a fun movie for the whole family. I actually went in thinking it was a movie for kids, and I was like, and after reading the reviews afterwards, I was like, it's a great movie. You may not want to bring your kids to this. It's horribly depressing about a little boy like having to be, you know, going through the shit to become a man really early.
And his coping mechanism is making a Liam Neeson tree.
Liam Neeson's, isn't it? He's great. He no one's been taken yet. But there's implication that someone might be taken.
It just seems that he doesn't make a Liam Neeson tree. He just channels his inner Liam Neeson.
Or he has a particular set of skills. And when there's a bully at the school, he makes them very present. So
you know.
I just love that you were like, oh, well, it's about this really horrible cancer. It's great and entertaining. Like,
it's my kind of movie where it's not just a cookie cutter, black and white, everything's happy at the end. It's like a realistic story with a kid coping with some shit, and I think it's really well done. It's kind of like Pan's Labyrinth, not as crazy or in-depth, cool, you know, Guillermo del Toro stuff.
Or as many fascists.
This is a film with a lot of visuals. I think what you're skipping on the visual aspect, which is that this kid imagines a giant tree monster, and the tree monster beats his bullies to death and stuff like that,
well,
right?
Well, sort of like that. I mean, yeah, you know, that's okay, but there's also some parts that are like watercolored animation as well. Which are neat.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Yeah, which are really cool. So, because there's a bunch of watercolor
elements.
So,
is it a fantasy
elements.
Film of a kind?
As much as I would say Pan's Labyrinth is, okay. Where it's really about a boy coming to terms with this monster, and either the monster's real or within him, you're not really sure. And you know, they talk back and forth a little bit.
How would you rate it on a scale of monster films where... let's say
it's not a monster film where the monster's like, I'm gonna kill everything and destroy everything, and I'm gonna you know what, this is where the wild things are and we're gonna fuck shit up. It's not that. It's more of like,
compared to other monster films like Charlize Theron's Monster or Halle Berry's Monster Ball,
it's more like Monster Ball.
I was gonna ask about the Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Wait, what's the classic 80s film about monsters?
Little Monsters?
Little Monsters, yeah. Little Monsters. Who's in that? Who's the star?
Fred Savage. And, who's the guy who... It is Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel's the monster.
He is in it.
I wasn't wrong!
That movie's probably really bad, but I watched it a million times when I was a kid. Really bad. I remember shit, like people, like monsters exploding and guts everywhere, like near the end. I'm like, wow, that's fucked up.
Huh.
It's good for kids, though. It's more like, you ever seen The Gate? You know the part where the kid is looking at the mirror and he kind of sees that undead thing, and then he goes in his closet and the undead thing comes out and grabs him, and then the kid never comes back?
You're
kind of like that.
You're telling me this Liam Neeson movie is as good as The Gate?
No, I was just comparing it to the closet scene.
Oh. Okay, well, that's pretty cool.
It has nothing to do with it.
The Gate kicks ass. I saw that as a kid during the middle of the day, and it terrified me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's the thing. If you're going to see A Monster Calls because you think it's a monster movie, it's not really. It's a boy talking with the monster a lot, but it's not a movie about a monster going right. It's not like The Iron Giant. He's not going to befriend a monster that's misunderstood. Hmm. You know, the monster is really just a part of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Spoilers.
I won't ruin the ending. Spoilers. But it may or may not be a part of him. Anyway, I think it's a great movie. It has a few good twists. It's well done. Everyone in the theater for some reason was crying. I guess when people are dying really painfully and they depict it, it's a horrible thing. But I was like, oh, that's interesting, huh?
Why are you leaking?
Danica, what is that? You only do that around me, but
it tastes salty. What is that? Stop, Brandon, stop licking my cheek.
I think more people should see it because more movies like this should be supported, and I feel like not enough people are going to support it. Also, the main character from Rogue One, isn't it?
Diego Luna. No. You're talking about Jen Erso, Felicity
K2SO
Jones.
K2SO is in this movie?
She's the other main character. That and
Sigourney Weaver.
Well, hey, Brandon, this movie does in fact need your money. Because
I know. I feel really bad because no one else is seeing it but me.
It cost $43 million to make, and presently it's made $30.3 million
to make. Did they release it in 3D IMAX?
It's sad because if you see the movie, you can really tell it's like someone put a lot of passion and heart into it. Someone actually spent a lot of work, a lot of time. And this is someone along the line, this is their personal story.
Right.
About their fucked up childhood. And I really want to see more movies that aren't, you know, just shitty AAA superhero cookie cutter fuck twat movies. I want to see more movies that are actually good and thought out, like supported. And since it probably won't be, more shit movies are going to come down the fucking shit pipe. We're going to be forced to suck from.
You are exactly right. Yeah. Everything you're saying is 100% true. So go see A Monster Calls.
And if we're doing it right, a lot of switch wipes are going to be coming down those pipes also.
Yeah, and switch wipes. Like
A Monster Calls. Is that Kate Beckinsale movie where she fights monsters?
Yeah.
No, it's that Mila Jovovich movie where she fights monsters.
Is that the sequel to the Charlize Theron monster film where she comes back and takes her undead revenge?
Oh, Anne Flux. Mad Max 2, Anne Flux.
So, we got you guys fans of Being Puppy Cat or Bravest Warriors at all?
Who isn't?
I don't know.
I mean, no, I am.
I've seen the first two episodes of Being Puppy Cat.
Are you talking about that shit they pulled at the end of the premiere episode?
Wait, what?
What?
Where you watch the premiere episode of Bravest Warriors season 3, and then they're like, well, we're only going to release one episode a month Well, for the next year, unless you subscribe to a special service.
Bravest Warriors is an animated series which was put out through Cartoon Hangover, a YouTube channel made by the Frederator Company, who also makes Adventure Time. It was created by Pendleton Ward. It was done the same. The original pilot for Bravest Warriors is just about as old as the original pilot for Adventure Time. It's a great series. You can watch all seasons 1, 2, and all these mini-sodes on YouTube. But it's been a long time since season 2. It's a very popular show. And now season 3 is out. But as Brandon has mentioned, yes, there is a very strange distribution scenario happening here.
Yeah, you won't be able to watch it for another year in its entirety unless you pay money to the worst named streaming service I've ever heard, Verve, VRV.
Yeah, VRV, aka Verve.
Fuck, who the fuck names it that? Anyway.
And Bee and Puppycat, the finale of that, is also locked on Verve.
I don't understand, because people paid money for Bee and Puppycat on Kickstarter, I believe.
Well, all the Kickstarter backers, of which I am one, were able to see it.
Well,
in a very poorly communicated Kickstarter campaign, but all the rewards did in fact go out.
I don't know what Verve is, and I don't want to pay for yet the 20th streaming thing in my home now.
You are right to be frustrated.
Have you read the comments? I mean, it's
yes,
just,
I have.
Every single person's like, we would have gladly actually paid for the episodes. We would have, if you did a Kickstarter, GoFundMe, we would have all pitched in. Like, it would have gotten done. Why are you being committed to a streaming thing? I'm not paying just to get this one show. I'm sure there's other things on it. Like you said, the end of being Puppycat, but like, I don't need another streaming service in my life.
Well, it is a weird scenario. As Frederator outlined on their YouTube channel, you know, Bravest Warriors is successful. It's been merchandised. It's and Bee and Puppycat as well. They produce a ton of merch through companies like We Love Fine. But they straight up said, we did everything we could to independently fund it, to continue to release it through the channels we have been, but it simply was not enough money.
They didn't do everything. I mean, they didn't themselves, yeah, but they didn't put it to the public, which Bee and Puppycat, that's how it got made.
That's how it got made, but that hasn't changed the fact that Frederator's distribution model, they can't afford to produce shows in general anymore. So
why don't they put it on iTunes for like 99 cents per episode?
That would be great.
Cartoon Network or whoever actually fund them, because Cartoon Hangover, isn't that part of them?
No, they're a studio that works with them, but they're not part of them.
And their studio's like, this is a great show. Good luck. Have fun on your own.
I mean, doing it on their own enables them to do the kind of content they create. Bee and Puppycat and the kind of raunchier, more adult humor of Bravest Warriors.
What about Adventure Time? They've been doing whatever the hell they wanted, and they were on a network.
To an extent. But Bravest Warriors is a show, and Bee and Puppycat, both are targeted at older demographics that people at conventional television networks would not be willing to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So for $2.49 a month, you can subscribe to the Frederator channel or the Cartoon Hangover channel of Verve. Verve is a weird service it's another streaming service, one in myriad streaming services, but it kind of homogenizes things a bit. It's created by Crunchyroll. So it has Crunchyroll, Funimation, Rooster Teeth, Geek and Sundry, Nerdist, Rift Tracks, Machinima, CISO, and Shudder are just some of the already streaming services, independent streaming services.
So it's a massive network conglomerate thing at this
point. It's a network conglomerate of streaming services. So you can get 8 channels for $10 a month. If you already watch that stuff or want to watch that stuff, you can.
It'll be on Netflix.
It's not
eventually
awful, but I'll tell you what is awful is you can watch Verve for free. You can watch the finale of Bee and Puppycat for free, but you will have to suffer through the worst fucking barrage of ads imaginable for short format programming.
Like, do they pop up or are they just like every
minute? They interrupt.
Ugh.
It's awful.
Okay, I guess that's how they get you to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't the only shows or streaming thing that's happened, because like Archer, the next season is it's moved to a new channel, actually. It's not a streaming service, but they're moving to FX's new channel, which is geared completely
FXX?
Towards... Yeah, FXX. Completely, they want to make it completely geared towards like more adult cartoons, because that hasn't been done before. That's what I heard. So.
Well, worth a shot. Maybe they could air Bravest Warriors there. But I mean, Bravest Warriors is a fantastic show, and I am straight up paying for it. And I have no regrets, because I know that this business is complicated. All the work we're doing with Lightning Dogs, which is an animated series we're attempting to produce in-house here at Nerdy Show through various means, it's only become clearer how difficult it is to really, truly do it. And all media industries right now are struggling with how the entire system that we had in the 20th century is in absolute chaos.
Or you could talk to the Verve people and get started there with Lightning Talks.
Well, I mean, but thing is, Cartoon Hangover, Frederator, they're a great tool for independent animation production. They make stuff happen, but they've had so many what appears to be from the outside, because they haven't been too public about this, but they've had a lot of funding problems, it would seem, and this is potentially a solution to that. However, it could get lost in the shuffle. I don't know. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I know it is an annoying thing. I am profusely annoyed.
I mean, I as soon as Denik and I read that, we were like, what the fuck? I mean, I'm just going to wait a year till it comes out on YouTube. So,
Yeah. Can you wait until they're like all done airing all the episodes and then get a free like month and just binge it?
No, yes, I assumed, because this was on a subscription thing, that they would be all out at once, especially given how long Bravest Warriors has been in production. But in fact, they are releasing them incrementally. I don't know at what pace. There's two episodes out already. The episodes are out a month early on...
Well, they're getting released early on Verve, but they said also it will take an entire month to release each episode on YouTube for free, which they're still doing, but you'll just have to wait like an entire year to watch all of it.
Okay.
From now.
I get it.
One episode per month if you're just watching it on YouTube.
I didn't realize that they were coming out on YouTube at all. That's
great.
Well,
that's what I read under the description of their official video.
Because I know there's a lot of people internationally who can't even use Verve, and so all these shows now don't exist.
I mean, I guess some comic books have done it worse, you know, one release per month, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, it's a weird situation we're in, though, especially for like Bravest Warriors is a great program, and I've loved what I've seen so far.
It's got emotion lords,
and man, the finale being Puppycat. Well, I got some criticisms, and it was some personal confusions. I ain't gonna talk about it, but I'm just gonna say I'm open to talking about it whenever anybody wants to talk about it. So we're probably at time. It's been a wild, weird episode. So, taking us out, we got a track by the Misbehavin' Maidens.
Misbehavin' Maidens.
Yeah. Ooh. They're lewd lyrical lasses with tight corals and loose morals.
Whoa.
They're an acapella / kind of folk band. They sort of remind me of the tunes I used to hear sung at Renfests in the days that Colin and I worked at Renfests.
Oh, man, I love those music.
You both worked at Renfest at the same time?
We sure did.
I'm sure you got stories.
Do you
remember those guys? BB Soldiers 3? Come on.
Yeah.
Those songs? Great. Great Renaissance. I bought their album. I still have
it. You're talking about Bedlam?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a great band called Bedlam. There's another band called Bedlam, which was a band that didn't tour the Renfest circuit, and they're better known than these guys.
But I went, and he's still there. The dude is still there.
Is he really?
Yes, I went and bought his album within the past year.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, props to the Bedlam Boys,
who I think there's only one left.
I don't believe I can link to at all, but they're fantastic. The Misbehavin' Mavens actually sing the song about Bedlam, the traditional folk song about Bedlam that the band Bedlam was named after, as a matter of fact. But these Misbehavin' Mavens, they do all kinds of sex-positive music, parodies, drinking, and fandom references for the 18-plus nerd crowd. You can often find them at the Limerick Pub in Wheaton, Maryland. And they're in the Washington, D.C. / Baltimore area. They're currently kickstarting their second record. The Kickstarter ends on February 2nd. We'll be linking to it on this episode's page. But this track is called Don't Sail There No More, which is something of a sea shanty of all the myriad pop culture ports of call that they have gone to and the people they've seduced and the awkward situations they've gotten themselves in, which has basically created the scenario that the title of the song thereby describes. They don't sail there no more on account of all the things that they did. What with those pop culture figures?
What happens in ports of call stays at various ports of call.
Unless, of course, it happened with the Misbehavin' Maidens, because now they've written a song about it.
Is it like the opposite of that song, Come Sail Away? Don't sail there anymore?
Well,
I think come then sail away.
It's kind of the opposite. Come Sail Away is from the opposite perspective, because there's the line, I thought they were angels, but much to my surprise, they climbed aboard their starship. No, this is not going where I thought it was.
Heading towards the skies!
Anyway, here's...
That was pretty good.
Yeah!
We'll go play Rock Band after this. Anyway, here's Don't Sail There No More by the Misbehavin' Maidens. Go check out their Kickstarter, linked on this episode's page.
We used to sail to Hogwarts, that's where we put ashore. We used to sail to Hogwarts, we did, but we don't anymore.
Alas, there wanted some magic, we had some of that on board. Spells she wanted, my wand she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
We used to sail to Gallifrey, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Gallifrey, we did, but we don't anymore.
A lady asked us for Time Lords,
we had some of those on board.
Time Lord she wanted, the doctor we played.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
Moisturize me, doctor.
We used to sail to Winterfell, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Winterfell, we did, but we don't anymore.
Alas, there wanted some winter,
we had some of that on board.
Winter she wanted, coming she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
We used to sail to Rillia, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Rillia, we did, but we don't anymore.
Alas, there wanted an elder thing,
we had some of those on board.
Cthulhu she wanted, a deep one she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
Tentacles. We used to sail to the Shire, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to the Shire, we did, but we don't anymore.
A lad there wanted tobacco,
we had some of that on board.
Long bottom he wanted, my bottom he got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
Smoke my pipe, Mr. Frodo.
We used to sail to Panem, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Panem, we did, but we don't anymore.
A tribute asked us for sponsors,
we had some of those on board.
Odds he wanted,
my favor he got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
We used to sail to Hyrule, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Hyrule, we did, but we don't anymore.
A princess wanted a relic,
we had some of those on board.
The Triforce she wanted, a threesome she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
It's dangerous to go alone.
We used to sail to Asgard, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Asgard, we did, but we don't anymore.
Alas, there wanted a demigod,
we had some of those on board.
Loki she wanted, Thor's hammer she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
The hammer was his penis. We used to sail to Ponyville, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Ponyville, we did, but we don't anymore.
Alas, there wanted some friendship,
we had some of that on board.
Friendship she wanted, magic she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
Princess Molestia, am I right?
We sailed to Mushroom Kingdom, that's where we put ashore.
We sailed to Mushroom Kingdom, we did, but we don't anymore.
A princess wanted some plumbers,
we had some of those on board.
Plumber she wanted, a warped her pipe.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
My childhood.
We used to sail with Starfleet before we put ashore.
We used to sail with Starfleet, we did, but we don't anymore.
Saber wanted an officer,
they had some of those on board.
The captain she wanted, his log she got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
Set warp drive to maximum thrust.
We used to sail to Sunnydale, that's where we put ashore.
We used to sail to Sunnydale, we did, but we don't anymore.
A vampire wanted a slayer,
we had some of those on board.
Buffy he wanted, Mr. Pointy he got.
That's why we don't sail there no more.
Mr. Pointy was her penis.
We used to sail to the studio, that's where we put ashore. We used to sail to the studio, we did, but we don't anymore. Our fans all wanted some music, we had some of that on board. Money they gave us, we took it and ran. That's why we won't sail there no more.
Guys, the Benadryl I took is kicking in, so good night.
Were you really bad allergies, or were you
took cold? Yeah. You took straight Benny before you came here?
I took 2 hours of sleep, lots of whiskey, straight Benny. Fucked up. Totes fucked up.
Well, why didn't you make it a Benny Hill?
Because I don't have all the ingredients to make that.
Is that adding a NyQuil?
It's adding a scantily clad naked gallon of meat.
You crush up the Benadryl and then huff it through a trumpet.
That's what they call that the Benny Hill.
The Benny Hill, a.k.a. the Yakety Sax.